the power of your love. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen, amen. Thank you, musicians. Bless you. Thank you for the song special. We sure do appreciate that. There's just two. You promised to be here. So we're so thankful for that. Amen. I'd say if there's just one, where he goes, I go. If he doesn't go, I don't go. But as is his custom, on the Sabbath, you would find him at the church. So he goes, I go. Praise the Lord. So we didn't announce it this morning. We intended to. We let the church officers know, but we do intend to have communion tonight. What?
Praise the Lord.
Oh. We were supposed to have it in the first Sunday of November, but everybody knows what happened. There's just a few of us here, and so it didn't really make sense, and we didn't want to torture everybody else to watch a few of us take communion, so we just knew that we'd have to delay it, and so we'll be having it tonight. We're going to forego foot washing this time around because we're still at a peak on the spread of this virus, and we just want to use some wisdom here. But I just want to remind you that, you know, because some would say, well, you know, we don't know when we're going to have communion. We do plan to have communion the first Sunday of every other month. So January 1st or December 31st, we will end our year and start our year with communion. And then we'll skip February, so March. So you can just put that in your calendar if you'd like. If it's I'm always ready, and not because I know, but because I want to be ready every day. If he comes today, I don't want there to be any trouble at the gate, and I don't want to carry any baggage along. So anyway, so just a reminder to you. Also, we'll be having service on Wednesday this week, and then we do have a guest minister coming to minister for us for our watch night service, and we don't normally announce our watch night service because we always have one. Every year we have a watch night service. I have my whole life. Growing up in the Baptist church, we had watch night service, and I'm sure that they do that in other denominational churches as well. To me, it's a special time, and you're ending a year, you're starting a new one, and you're just, you know, trying to keep your focus, and you're reflecting on the year that's behind you and the year that's coming up, and just, you know, we don't believe in making New Year's promises and pledges. You know, we should always desire to do better and to live better, but you know, those pledges, they come and go, and it's kind of like dieting. You know, don't announce you're going to go on a diet, just go on a diet, and then if you come off of it, nobody will know. Just you know, let your yeas be yeas, your nays be nays. Lord willing, we'll do this or that. We do have two guest ministers coming in December, and so we will put announcements up for that, because I just want to make sure that those services are well supported. And then, the Lord willing, we'll continue to have visiting ministers more and more as it becomes possible. And then one more thing. We are planning on having our annual meetings, but this year we're going to do it a little different. This year, our thought is to do it the first week of March. We've normally done it. We've tried to schedule it either in between the gym show, gym and mineral show, and the rodeo. Sometimes we've done it during rodeo week, and the reason why we try to stick it in between there is because the hotel rates go up. During the gym and mineral show in particular, it's hard to even get a room, but they gouge you, the rates go up, and they just drop like a rock in between and after. And so we got to thinking about it this time. We thought, well, why not just, you know, it's not going to hurt to, March is still a pretty nice month too. We like February, we like the weather, but March is still pretty nice. So so we will put up more information on that. We're trying to line up ministers as we speak. And the issue that we have right now is whether or not the ones that we're inviting are going to be able to travel. But we're going to pray that things change by then and that they'll be able to do that. So, okay, if you would stand. Obedience is better than sacrifice, part two. Appreciate all the feedback that we got this afternoon. So many of you expressed that that was a real help to you. And that's the whole motive and objective is to help. So thank the Lord for that. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Again, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 and 22, Paul says, "Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good, and abstain from all appearance of evil." So it's not enough for a Christian to just, you know, a Christian doesn't premeditate evil or desire to do evil. We might do things that will make mistakes, but it's not our motive or objective or desire. But this is something more than that. This is recognizing that you are a representative of another kingdom, and people are watching you. And so we're being instructed here to avoid even the appearance of evil. If something even looks like it might reflect badly on the kingdom, on the church, on you, on your testimony, well, then don't do it. Right? Abstain from all appearance of evil. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you that we can gather together again with those of like precious faith. And we thank you, Lord, for your word. It's always on time. It's always in the right season. It's always what we need. And Lord, we know that you quicken your word and give it the life that's necessary for that word to be lived out. And we're so thankful for that tonight, because if this was something that was works-based, in other words, if it was something that we were expected to do out of our human abilities, we would just go ahead and fold up and go somewhere else and go do something else, because, Lord, we've proved to ourselves many, many, many years ago that we're just not able to do these things by our own strength or our own power. But Lord, we know that it's not by our strength or our power, but it's by your Spirit that we overcome. It's not by our strength, but it's by our weakness. Your strength is made perfect in our weakness. And so Lord, we just want to get out of the way once again, and we want your word to find its resting place, to deal with our hearts, Lord, the issues of the heart, do surgery on us, Lord. And Lord, in particular, as we are going to approach your table tonight, we know that it's no coincidence, a direction that you had us go this morning in preparation for having communion tonight. Lord, we want to be able to say all is well, and just to be able to to come with a clean heart and a clear conscience. And there's many needs in the body here tonight, Lord, and we know that there's healing in the cup. So we're looking, Lord, for needs to be met as well. So we just ask, Lord, that as your word goes forth again this evening, as we get closer to taking communion here tonight, we ask that your word would search our hearts, and Lord, that you give us the grace to allow your word to access to every crack and corner, and Lord, knowing that it's searching the thoughts and the intents of the heart, and knowing, Lord, that your word is not sent to kill us or condemn us, but to, Lord, to set us free, to shine light where there's darkness, Lord, to expose doubt and replace it with faith, and to, Lord, to cause us to be more surrendered to you and to see you have preeminence in your body. So we just ask, Lord, for this special blessing upon each and every one, whether in the building or listening in tonight, Lord. And Father, I ask that you'd be with all those that are listening in tonight that can't be here. And I know that if they could, they'd want to partake of communion tonight, Lord. And we know that you know that. And Lord, it'll be counted unto them as well. And so we just are praying for their quick recovery, Lord, and for this body to be brought back together in its fullness once again. We give you all praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So once again, that word obey, one of the definitions for it in the Bible dictionary is to have power to hear. To have power to hear. Notice the scripture doesn't say everyone can hear. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. And I believe that if the Lord didn't say that, that even he that hath an ear would not be able to hear. Because he said, he that hath an ear. Otherwise, why would he say that if there's no need to say it? He's saying, he that hath an ear, let him hear. And we know that there's power to be able to hear. And so it's a blessing to just to be able to hear the word of the Lord. So we saw this morning that if we want to satisfy that deep call that's down in our soul for the supernatural presence of God in our lives, the recipe is that we must obey his word. Sure. And of course, if we're born again of the Spirit of God, that is our desire. Our desire is to keep his word, to do his word, to see his word fulfilled in our lives. And we also know that we're not obligated to hear any other voice. That doesn't mean that we should be arrogant or mean-spirited or, let people, people say, well, what denomination are you? None. You know, I'm not part of that horror system. You don't have to make yourself strange. You will be strange, but Jesus didn't make himself strange, and he didn't go around, trying to be an oddball. He just was an oddball. If you stay with the word, you'll be odd. But, we have a choice, what we're going to listen to and what we're going to follow and what we're going to allow to go into our senses. And we realize that if there's doubt or unbelief and it comes into our minds, Satan can work on that. And you're a son or daughter of God filled with the Holy Ghost, but that doesn't mean that you can't do things that'll cause you to have a harder time than what you would have had otherwise. There's easier ways and harder ways. So whatever we hear, we're going to have to deal with it one way or another. So our desire is just to hear the word, to hear the truth, right? And we know that the truth is, the motive of the truth being sent to us is to set us free. And whom the Son is set free is free indeed. So it's not to condemn you. It's not to tar and feather you. It's not to, make an example out of you. It's to set you free. It's to make you a better person. It's to free you to think the right kind of thoughts, and to take on the mind of Christ. And what you, as the scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if we're dwelling on negativity, if we're, as we said this morning, I just want to touch on it again, just to emphasize it one more time. There are many of us that would never tell something about somebody else or talk about it. But we might occasionally be inclined to listen to what somebody else is saying, and maybe we didn't see it coming, and we hear it, and maybe we don't respond because we don't want to encourage that kind of a conversation. But at the same time, we think, oh well, you know, I just want to be sweet, and this person's been nice to me, and whatever, and so I'm just not going to say anything. Well, you do need to say something, right? You do need to, because people that do that kind of thing, people that habitually talk about other people, they know who they can talk to, and they know who they can't talk to. Nobody does that with me. Why? Because I don't want to hear it. And it's obvious, right? But it should be obvious from the rest of us too, right? And you know, like I said, once again, you don't have to be arrogant about it or nasty or self-righteous. Just stand firm and just recognize that this is a tabernacle of the Holy Ghost, right? And so if this is a temple of the Holy Ghost, these are not garbage cans for other people to come and dump their garbage in, right? And it's not edifying, and you really don't want to hear it, right? I mean, if you did, that's what you would focus on. And if you wanted to focus on it, we'd be here all night focusing on what's wrong, right? As long as we're here on the earth, there's going to be a lot of things that are wrong. I mean, we're in Satan's Eden, right? The whole thing's wrong. The whole thing's upside down. The whole thing's perverted, right? But we don't want to focus on that. We want to focus on whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pleasant, of good report, the things that are edifying. Those are the things that, you know, if there be any praise, those are the things that we want to focus on, and it lifts you up. You know, how can you talk about good things and be depressed? I'm not making small or light of the fact that we have tragedies that take place in our lives, and we should grieve. It's good to grieve. It's good to get it, to deal with it and get it out of your system. So I'm not making light of that, but just you know, our day-to-day walk being a walk that's you know, half of what comes out of our mouth is something negative, well, you're going to be miserable. And the people that live that way, guess what? They are miserable. I don't care what kind of smile they paste on their face, and I don't care how nice they try to sidle up to you and, you know, try to act all sweet. They're miserable. And they're trying to, it's not enough to just be miserable, but you're kind of sharing that, you know, misery with other people, right? And it will affect you. I don't care who you are. It will affect you. And so as we saw this morning, we are obligated to deal with it. We are obligated to shut it down. We are obligated to let it be known that, look, I'm not interested in having these kind of conversations. And the church says. Amen. So we're not obligated to hear any other voice but the voice of the Lord. In fact, we are to, as we saw this morning, put away any voice that's taking us away from the true voice to focus on some other God. So we found in Deuteronomy that God expects us to try every voice, and John tells us in 1 John the same thing, try every spirit and see if that spirit is of the Lord. And then we should kill the influence of any voice that's contrary. We should just shut it down and move on. So whether that voice is coming across the pulpit, or it's the voice of an organization, or the voice of a movement, or the voice speaking in secret from a family member or anybody else, we're not to spare that voice. Once again, you're not out to punish or persecute, but you're not to give give place to it. Because a spirit that tries to lead you away from the Word will always try to lead you away from the Word. It's not just hit and miss, but that's the goal of it. So we're not to pity somebody that's always, you know, in the down in the dumps and got the molly grubs. We're not to cover that up. We're not to spare that person. But we're to, I mean, friends, as we are the last people on the face of the earth that should be putting up with it, right? We are the most blessed people on the face of the earth. We are blessed and highly favored. And not only as believers, but as Americans. We've got more than most of the world has, and most of the world that's ever lived ever had. And for us to be ungrateful. We don't want to fulfill the prophecy in Thessalonians and be unthankful and unholy and without natural affection. And we don't want to fulfill that. We know that there are people that will fulfill that, but don't let it be you. Deuteronomy 13, verse 6. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul. So that'd be your bestie, right? Your BFF, best friends forever. I wonder if there is such a thing as that. Entice thee secretly, saying, let us go to serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. So, of course, we know that the scripture is not telling us in this age to kill people when they do this. But what it's speaking to, because this is a shadow of things to come, it's you're supposed to cast down that spirit, not give place to that spirit. Don't cover it up. And wherever it's at, you know, I mean, look at how Paul dealt with Peter, when Peter was playing the part of a hypocrite, right? He'd be around the Galatians, he'd be around the he'd be one way around them, and then he'd be another way when he was around the Hebrews, and Paul just called him out on it, and it was done in love, but it needed to be done, and the proof that Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost was he received that correction. And so if you are a Holy Ghost-filled believer, you will receive that correction. Because truly, it's not, you don't have a desire to be that way. And we all can, you know, make mistakes. We can all get weak. Maybe we're not prayed up or whatever. And we do something that we wouldn't have otherwise done. But we'll want to make it right. And we won't try to cover it up. And we won't blame it on somebody else. But we'll want to make it right because that's what Christians do. We want to be able to say all is well. We want to be able to come boldly before his throne with and to come to the king's table, what have you, with no baggage. So we should let it be known to anybody that's a part of our lives that there's no place in our lives for anything that's contrary to the voice of God that's been vindicated to be his voice in this day. Because, friends, the end-time believer is the final voice to the final age. She has his voice. It's his voice speaking through her. She has his word. She's eaten that book, and then she's prophesying again. So that's what we want other people to see. That's what we want other people to hear. That's what we want our testimony to be, right? So any fellowship that we have with anybody else, that fellowship is consensual. Do you know what that means? That means that you were both consenting to do that. Two can't walk together except they be agreed, right? So you are consenting to have fellowship with somebody else, which means that both parties are agreeing to the fellowship that they're having one with another. So you both have to be in agreement. And you, if you say, well, I don't really agree with that, but I'm just not going to say anything. Well, you are agreeing. Your silence is, it's passive agreement, right? And if you're worried that the fellowship is going to be broke up, if you expose that, well, that fellowship ought to be broke up. In order to walk together, ground rules must be established. And if the ground rules are not established, a lot of times they're implied. Many times people think that there's no need to establish boundaries and friendships and fellowships. But in order to walk together, the boundaries do need to be defined, right? And when others cross those boundaries, there needs to be consequences. Or there really aren't any boundaries. Friends, that's how it is with the Lord. If we cross the boundary of his word, it hinders our fellowship with him. And he'll sure let us know. So if a brother or sister in the faith tries to entice you secretly, you are to let that person know in no uncertain terms. Do it nicely. Do it in love. Do it patiently. But let that person know in no uncertain terms that you're not going to listen to that. And you're going to make that sort of talk known to the church if it continues, to your parents if it continues, to some elder of the faith in your life if it continues. There must be consequences. Otherwise, there's no standard. And a standard that's not enforced is not a standard. So a true child of God will embrace the correction and will love you for reproving that spirit that was speaking contrary to the word. Sometimes people just, they're not even aware of what they're doing. They can't, you know, they may seem like they can't help themselves. They're in a rut. They, you know, kind of going down a certain path. And if you don't kind of shake that thing up, they're not even aware of it. Because it's become, you know, a habit doesn't know that it's a habit, right? But by you bringing it out, you're actually helping your brother or your sister, because now they can face it and call upon the Lord and say, Lord, I want this to change in my life. I don't want to be known for this. I don't want to be a part of this. Whatever things are good or pleasant, or I want to think on those things. I want to speak on those things. I want to testify of those things. It's not just for some of us to do this, right? And I don't care what your temperament is. I don't care how you were raised. I don't care what's in your DNA. Every one of us can do this. Right. And every one of us are expected to do this, right, as sons and daughters of God. But it's going to happen not because Brother Alvaro is going to be over at your house every day to make sure that you don't do this, or he's not going to be measuring your clothes or whatever. He would never do that, but that's why I bring that up as an example. But or me following you around to, you know, listen into your conversations or whatever. No, this is up to you, right? And this is something that every one of us as individuals are responsible for. But if you're truly born again of the Spirit of God, you want that. You want to talk about the good meeting. You want to talk about the good word. You want to talk about sister's healing or brother's deliverance or somebody's salvation or how somebody got freed from drugs or whatever. You want to talk about that, right? Not about, you know, who backslid, who doesn't believe something, and who doesn't agree with somebody. I don't agree with myself, so why would I want to hear about what somebody else doesn't want to agree with or agrees with, right? Proverbs 9, verse 1. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not the scorner, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. In other words, if somebody's just a fool and they're acting the part of a fool, it's not a brother or sister, you know, just leave it alone and go on. So what we're talking about here, and of course you're not going to want to listen to that. You're going to want to get into a different atmosphere. But what we're talking about is if it's a brother or a sister, they'll love you for it. Now, you know, at the moment, their temperature might go up for a second or two, but I don't know how many times I've heard people say, especially as a supervisor, as a program manager, working with people all these years, I don't know how many times they just speak too quickly, and they'll say something, and they don't really mean it, you know, and they'll want to take it back if there's any way to take it back. But if you just hear that right off the bat, then you think it's hopeless, or you know that person will never turn around. But they're going to listen to what you said, and they're going to think about it a little bit as time goes on, and it's going to have an effect. So you can't just judge it by whatever their reaction is right at the moment, because a lot of times people will just open their mouth and, you know, words will come out and they'll have to reel them back in at some point, you know. But it is true. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. So we are to obey the voice of the Lord and his voice only. And we need to recognize his voice. We need to know his voice. And the only way that you're going to know his voice is to be in the Word in prayer every day. And if whatever you hear can't be taken back to the Word, well, then you want to just set it aside. Because if it is the voice of the Lord, you'll find it in the Word. Amen. So we can be assured that when we obey, we will have the supernatural presence in our life. And every time we need a drink, every time we need a refreshing, we have but to just partake. But if we're not obedient, we have no guarantee that his presence is going to draw near. And it will seem hit and miss, and we will write it off as the mystery of his sovereign will, you know, that you can't always have a good service, you can't always feel his presence, you can't always walk with him, what have you. And we're almost painting him out as a mystery and almost ficklish, if you will. That God's not ficklish. His word is amen and amen. If we do things according to his will, we should have certain expectations. So we're taught by Paul that we are to prove all things and then hold fast to that which is good. Notice not hold fast to that which is bad. And some people spend more time, really. I mean, this is the crux of the matter. People that are stuck in negativity, they spend more time holding on to that which is not good right? And trying to vindicate it and trying to make a case out of it and trying it over and over in court and then trying to get allies to join up with them. And you're holding on to something that isn't good. So how are you going to hold on to something that is good, especially when you're not even looking for it? So it's a trap. Now, there's, of course, more than one way to not be obedient to the word. There's the obvious way is to be stubborn and just say, I refuse, right? So that's one way. Another way is to say, well, I know it says that, but God doesn't really care. It's okay if sisters want to wear a little makeup. Well, thank you for telling us the Bible that you wrote and expressing your Bible with us. But we want his voice. And they'll say that knowing the prophet of God said, if the Spirit of God is in me, then you better not try and meet God wearing that stuff. Did he say that? Oh, sure he did. All right, some of you know he said that. He felt so strongly about it that he said, if a pastor won't preach against it, you vote that pastor out of your church and put in a preacher that will preach against it. Right? And one of the reasons why he was so stirred up about it is, recall that when he was laying in that hospital bed and he was heading towards hell, he was dying. And the direction he was going, the women that he saw, their faces were painted up like lizards, he said. And, you know, he had these waterhead hairdos, he said. And he knew that that's what you'll find in hell, not heaven, right? And he had later on in life, he had an experience where he went beyond the curtain of time and he didn't see any of that, right? And when he was at J.C. Penney's and coming down that escalator at one point in time, he got real weak, and because he saw some women coming up the escalator, and they looked just like the women that he saw in that vision as he was heading towards hell, and he was calling out to the Lord to save him. And he actually had to sit down, and his wife asked if he was okay, and he said, I just need to sit here for a moment. And so, he saw people falling into hell, and their faces were all painted up. And he went to, as we said, he went to where the dead in Christ are waiting, and he saw fresh and clean-looking men and women. So we can refuse, just flat out refuse. I'm just not going to do whatever the word says to do. Or we can try to explain it away, which is it's no different than just flat out refusing it. It's a little less honest. The third way is we can just ignore, just pretend like we didn't hear it, right? So let's say that you believe that there is no fivefold ministry, that Brother Branham's your pastor, and that you're just supposed to listen to tapes, and that's the highest authority. Well, in order for you to hold on to that, you're going to have to avoid the tapes that says the pastor's the highest authority in the local church, right? And I can just hear some of you right now, oh, no, it's the Holy Spirit. Duh.
Right.
If you're the head of the house at home, you're the man of the house. I can say the same thing. You're the head of the house, and Christ is your head. Oh, no, the Holy Ghost is. Duh. Christ is your head. You're the head of the woman, right? According to the scripture, Christ is my head, right? So you would have to skip this, the tapes that said, oh, don't stay away. Go to church, you know? Those that are living in the end time, it'll get to the place where you can't wait for the church doors to open.
Right?
Stay with your pastor or you're lost. I mean, they're just statement after statement after statement, right? That are just, they're just plain as day.
Right.
Right? So for you to reject that word, some people will just, they just won't play that tape. Right? Just ignore it. That's what denominations do with the Bible.
Sure.
Right? It's a shame for a woman to cut her hair.
Sure.
Right? Paul said, if she does cut her hair, let it be shaved completely off. Let her shave her head. Right? And it's a shame for a man to have his head covered. He's supposed to cut his hair. These are, you know, well, if you're from the apostolic church, you believe that it's a hat. And so Paul was talking about a hat. A woman is supposed to wear a hat. And we've had people come to our church over the years. Nice people, brothers and sisters, where the husband insisted that the wife wear a hat because that was their interpretation of it. Right? But that's denying the word. Because the word doesn't say hat. It says hair. And of course, we understand why that's in the word, right? So the one person will say, well, I don't care. You know, I don't care what it says. I ain't doing that, right? Another one will say, well, that's such a small thing. God doesn't care. Okay, well, why do you put it in his word then? You know, people like that, you can just say, okay, I'm going to give you a 3x5 card. Why don't you just write down on that 3x5 card what's important? Because obviously, your Bible's a lot more holy than mine. It's got a lot of holes in it, right? Because you're just writing off this, that, and the other, right? And then there are those that just refuse to look at it because you're not accountable if you don't see it. You have employees that are that way, you know. Review time comes around. Why didn't you do this? Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, you did. Don't play that game. You do. You just didn't look. So we can skip the tapes that we have trouble with. But we can't act as if Brother Branham never told us, if a young lady is wearing high-heeled shoes, she can never come this way. Did you know that's a quote? Well, some of you did. Well, that sounds pretty hard. What are you listening to? Well, that's making it pretty hard. What's your motive? What's your objective? Well, I think it's okay. Well, your thinking is swell. But I don't care what you think. I care what he thinks, right? We are obligated to obey what was said about the scripture. And if God sent Elijah to turn our hearts, well, I want to let him turn my heart back to the word. I don't want to fuss with him. I don't want to debate. I don't want to say, well, that was him. That was, you know. I want to take, if it pertains to the word and takes me back to the word. I want the word. I mean, that's what we want. We want to zealously repent. Right. We're not looking for loopholes. Right. We want to be right. None of us were right, but we want to be right. And God has gifted us with the truth. So for the first time in 2,000 years, there's a people that can be right. If you desire. In other words, we can fail to obey the voice of the Lord by neglecting things that he has spoken out of fear, out of rebellion, or ignorance, willful ignorance, whatever other reason. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. We won't escape. How could we escape? We know too much. Too much is given, much is required. So what are we accountable for? All of it. Thankfully, if you'll just surrender to him, allow his spirit to move through you, he will keep his word. So we're living in a place where we can no longer neglect anything that the Lord has spoken, because we're not ignorant. There was a time when we could plead ignorance, but no more. People still try to play the ignorance card, though, when it comes to marriage and divorce, when it comes to qualifications for being behind the pulpit. But we can no longer do that. Those that permit that, they call that grace. But it's not grace. At what point in time are we responsible for his word?
Right.
Now, it doesn't mean that we won't make mistakes. We will. But it means that we set our hearts to obey. That we're not premeditating to make mistakes. Brother Branham said, some ministers will sit in their study and flip the page quickly, trying to get past something that they don't want to teach. I'll admit that I try to get past some things I don't want to preach, but I do preach them. And I agonize over it, and I lose sleep, and I wonder, what did I say, and why did I have to say that? And then some of you come up and say, thank you. Appreciate that. That's just exactly what I needed to hear.
Right.
If you're a Christian, you want to hear the truth.
Amen.
He said, he that looketh upon a woman to lust after her in her heart, he said, the denominations act like that doesn't even apply anymore. They let the people dress any old way, and the men act any old way, saying that they don't recognize that they don't need to commit the immoral act, for they are already guilty of it by the desire that lays in their hearts. Well, that's what Jesus told us. So we can't act like it's not in the Bible and then claim to be obeying the voice of God. We can't ignore it because it's been spoken and we've heard it and we're accountable. So the burden for the true church is to walk, be it unto me according to thy word. Let your word, which is in heaven, let that be manifested in my life.
Amen.
Hebrews 12:25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on the earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. So we can't neglect the voice, and we can't refuse the voice. Once we've heard the vindicated word, we can no longer escape by refusing or neglecting. And yet there is a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you would be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea, and they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea. And they did all eat the same spiritual meat. And they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all of these things happened unto them for our examples, And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. If you think you're standing, make sure that you are standing. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Notice he didn't say he was going to take it away. You're bearing it. You're bearing the temptation. But he's going to make a way for you to escape that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. So the question I have for us tonight is, are we looking for the escape route that he has provided for us? Because I don't care what you're facing, what the situation is, there is an escape route there. Again, he says, but my dear friend, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises a standard against it. You read in these magazines and things how Satan is on the rampage? Yes, sir. God's raising a standard against it. Don't worry. He's always on the right side. He's always above the enemy all the time. So if the enemy's coming in like a flood, you should say, Lord, where's your standard? Because I'm going to rally to that place. And that place is going to be higher than this flood that's coming in. You've prepared a place for me to stand. Just show me that place, Lord. So we know that the standard is the Word of God. And the Word has the power for total deliverance. And there's no deliverance in refusing or neglecting the Word. A standard has been raised, and so we just have to make up our choice, make up our minds. So we might think, you know, there's no way that I can overcome this temptation that I face, which is common to man, as Paul said. But he says, I will provide you a way to escape. We know that he was tempted in every way, yet without sin. So our escape tonight is Christ in humanity. That's our escape. We are hidden in him. And he has placed more in you than you realize. He's God. Nothing else is above him. And he's faithful. No matter what we're going through, he's faithful. So if you're looking for a way to escape your temptation, he has that way for you. But you need to seek him. Say, Lord, show me that way, that I may be able to bear this. And friends, all of us, if we're honest tonight, all of us would admit that we get pushed sometimes right up to what we can't bear. Where we think, you know what, I can't take this. Right? And we're looking for a way out. I want to quit. I want to slit my wrists. I want to head off into the wilderness. I want to go on vacation. I want to move. Whatever it is, right? I mean, those thoughts come into our mind. Why? Because we're looking for an escape. But those things are not our escape, right? But there is a way of escape where you will stay right where you're at, but you'll be able to bear it. But we need to seek him to show us that way of escape. He has a way for you. You believe that tonight? This message, in fact, is our great escape. An entrance is being ministered unto you, which is also an exit from the lust that it's in the world, the temptations that are in this life, the unbelief, the doubt. And it's made a way for us to escape not only this flesh, because ultimately you're going to leave this body. Does that sound like a pretty good escape? Yeah. Houdini don't have nothing on you. You're going to leave this body and never come back. So there's an escape from this flesh, but there's also an escape from the corruption of this world through lust. We are told When you hear of these words, do not harden your hearts, as those that lived and died, as our examples did in the wilderness journey. Don't be like them. So when God asks you to take the extra step to overcome what you face at any particular time, don't harden your heart. When God asks you to confess this to be the truth, to make something right, don't harden your heart. If he tells you to get off the internet, he's not going to tell everybody that. But if he tells you, if you got a problem, and he tells you to get off the internet, get off the internet. Don't try to reason. If he tells you to turn your phone off, I don't have a problem with the phone. You know why? Because I don't like to talk on the phone. I don't like to talk to machines. Do you realize that to this day, I mean from day one, first time that I went through a drive-through and there's this little clown there and the clown's talking to you, yeah, can I have your order? Yeah, like a Whopper with cheese and of course those special chemical tacos and and fries and I want this and that and the other and I just get all uptight. I don't like talking to a machine, right? I want to talk to a human being. You say, well, why don't you like phone calls? Well, because there's so much communication that's lost when you can't see the person. You can't see the body language and what have you, right? There's miscommunication a lot of times. And I get nervous about that. I don't want to be misunderstood. I don't want to miss something. I don't want to, misread what somebody's trying to express. I get nervous about that. So I'm not telling you that I won't talk on the phone. You know I will, because I do. But what I'm trying to tell you is I'm pretty sure God's not going to tell me to stay off the phone. Because for him to tell me to stay off the phone, I'd have to get on the phone. Right? But that may be somebody else's weakness. Right? Doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean I'm better than you. Just means that that's where your punch is coming. Or the Lord might tell you to put away a certain kind of music that's got a hold of you, Or that you need to hearken unto his voice and know that he made a way for you to walk in the obedience of his word. I think sometimes we might be neglecting this scripture because we give in to the defeat of the moment when we are tempted. Instead of crying out and saying, God, if I'm going to get through this, it'll only be by you making a way of an escape for me. I don't think I'm going to get through this because I'm strong or I'm better or I couldn't fall or I couldn't this or that. If I'm going to get through this, it's because you're going to provide a way of an escape, right? Which he said that he would. So don't harden your heart, but hearken unto the voice of God, knowing that he's provided a place for you to step. Remember when Peter was afraid that he was seeing a ghost out there? He looked out upon the waters and they were spooked. And he said, Lord, if that be you, well, who else would it be? Lord, if that be you, bid me to walk upon the water. And Jesus said, fear not. It is I. Be not afraid. And then Then he told Peter, walk to me. And when Peter fastened his eyes on the Lord Jesus, it was faith that provided solid rock for him to walk on. So listen, friends, the Lord's hand is not heavy and his arm is not short. The same one that reached out to you, the same one that got Rahab, the same one that reached out and grabbed Peter as he was about to sink, he can reach down and grab you. No matter what you're going through. And you might be starting to fall, but he can reach out and grab you. He can provide to you a way of escape. Do you believe that? So we need to put ourselves into the message. We need to put ourselves into the pages of the Bible. And we need to act according to what the word tells us to do. And we can easily see that somebody else can do it. But what about God doing it in your life? I mean, he wants to do that for you. He wants to prove that he's Jehovah Jireh. So listen, friends, we read in the Bible what's written concerning the lives of many overcomers, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And Paul tells us that they are written for our examples. But I want you to know that God is writing more, not adding to or taking away from the word that's already been written, but he is writing the real story that all of these other lives were typing out. He's now writing them in your lives because their lives spoke of you. So your testimony is a book. It's a written epistle that's being read like no other book in the Bible. You are actually living out the word. And his word is now on display in living vessels. And he's bearing witness to the world that his word is true. And that it's the same today as it was yesterday and or any other day. So you are actually a parable in this hour. You're the character of the story. You're the one that's on the stage and the spotlight shining on you. You're the mask that God's using to show himself through. Brother Branham tells us, there's lots of prophets tell parables. Brother Branham tells us a parable of a pirate and a boy that's on the ship. And this boy reads the book of Isaiah the way that his mother taught him to read. And he's putting himself, by your stripes, I am healed, right? And the pirate said, do you think you could put my name in it? Now, why would he say that? Because this was a written epistle that was being read of that pirate. It was the boy was putting himself right there in the word. And it spoke to this character. So we know that we're called to total obedience to the word of God. We're going to pull over here in just a minute. Remember when Lot and his family, they were being called out of Sodom, and they were told, don't look back. Brother Branham said Lot's wife might have just glanced back. Not stared, but just glanced back. But her heart looked back in that memorial to sin, and her heart loved Sodom more than she loved the voice of that angel that was calling her out. So it's amazing because she became a pillar of salt. She became a memorial to everybody else who thinks of disobeying the voice of the angel. She's the memorial that shows what happens if you disobey that voice. A rich young ruler stood before Jesus and refused to obey the voice. He asked him, what do I need to do? And the Lord tells him what to do, and he says, I ain't doing that. Jude shows us angels that lost their first estate because they hearkened not to the voice that had spoken to them. And they are, at this very moment, awaiting destruction. There are those that are held, that are reserved for judgment, because they did not obey the voice in the days of Noah. There's a trigger that releases bad things when somebody is disobedient to the word of God. And there is also a trigger that releases good things when we're obedient to the word. We're safe, we're protected, there's promises. Supernaturally, plagues fell on people for disobedience. 20,000, 23,000 died at one time. Children made fun of the prophet Elisha. And supernaturally, bears came down and ate him up. But when people obey a supernatural God, a switch is thrown in the supernatural realm, and that throws those that are obedient into that supernatural realm, and it opens the channel, it opens the doors, it opens the windows of heaven. Some disobey, and they die. But if you obey, there's life. And not just life, but more abundant life. So obedience has more power than disobedience. Now, let me say that again. Obedience has more power than disobedience. So if we can believe for death and destruction, how much more can we believe this evening for life and supernatural overcoming power over every evil power in this age? Again, in the message, Total Deliverance, Brother Branham says, then just like you, if you're a Christian, God don't make any halfway Christians. God makes complete Christians. God don't make halfway preachers, but the preacher can be halfway. And God makes his children Christians, but sometimes they're halfway Christians. But it's not God's intention for them to be that way. It's their own ways that got mixed up with the plan of God for their life, and that's what makes them the way they are. God don't want them to be halfway Christians or halfway preachers, compromising on either side. He wants them to completely stand in the breach. Now, Moses, God had made him a complete prophet for a complete deliverance. And Moses was completely surrendered into the hands of God. And that's the reason it made him what he was. He was so complete in God until God could trust him. I wonder this morning as Christians, if we've yielded our own will and yielded ourselves completely to God till God can trust us to the place that he has put us. I wonder this morning of myself, if I could be so yielded to God till God could trust me. He could trust Brother Neville, could trust our trustee board, our deacon board, or our members of our church. We all have a place and we got a duty. The minister's got a place of duty to stand and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ without compromising. If he's called to be a preacher, he wouldn't spare one thing for one person if he's called to be a preacher. And the member of the church, if he's called to be a member of this certain group, well, then he would not compromise. If the church believes that we should not gamble, well, then that member should never touch a deck of cards. If we don't believe in drinking, he should turn his head completely from drinking. If we don't believe in gambling or smoking, the member of this church should never touch such a thing. God gives complete deliverance. He will do it if we completely surrender ourselves to him. If we will completely deliver ourselves into his hand, then God can live in us, Christ, the hope of glory. He can reflect himself from us as we get ourselves out of the way. Then our thoughts are his thoughts. Could you imagine Christ smoking a cigar? Whew, that's a rough thing to even think about. Could you imagine Christ drinking or playing cards? Now, some people will take this too far, right? You know, you can play a game of cards, Go Fish or Uno. He's talking about gambling, right? Then if your spirit is part of his spirit, he wants it to be upon your confession. But you permit the devil to come in and take over, and all the time in your heart, way deep down, down deep, you know that you're wrong when you do those things. And when one member would talk against the other member, you know that's wrong. You're commanded to pray for one another, not talk against one another, but to love one another. And if somebody is down, let's pick them up. Let's help them. That makes us a unified group of believers. Now, when they don't obey that, well, then we don't obey God, and it displeases God. And therefore, our church, our people, cannot prosper. So the actions of the individuals affects the entire body. That's why we drill on these things and drill on these things. That's why you hear us say 99% maybe is this way, and maybe only 1% that way, but it only takes 1%. How can you be unified if we're really not walking together, right? And then you want me to pray for you. That's the thing that it just boggles my, and I do sincerely every time. But I can't imagine going to a doctor and then talking about what a quack he is, running him down and just telling everybody, don't go to that guy. And then me getting sick and going to the doctor and saying, fix me up. It doesn't even make sense, right? Or pray for my kids, or what have you. Of course we'll do that. But why would you bite the hand that feeds you, so to speak? Why would you? The two don't work together. Something's wrong with this picture. Now, when we don't obey, then we don't obey God and we displease God, and therefore our church, our people, cannot prosper. The church cannot go on because we're disunified together. As Jesus said, a little leaven leavens the lump. So it's not okay to have just a little bit of yeast. It's going to, if there's yeast in the mix, it's going to make things rise. So we have to be in agreement together as a body, and that's why we keep laboring on it and laboring on it. That means we have to go, it has to be more than you saying, well, I don't do that. It has to go to the next step. I'm not putting up with that. Right? This is not who we are. We have promises today that if we obey the voice of the Lord, even death can't touch us. You realize how few people have been able to say that in the history of the world? And yet there's a people standing on the face of the earth that have come to the place that if they will obey his word, death cannot touch them. So God doesn't make halfway preachers, but any preacher that leaves out the supernatural, well, he's a halfway preacher. Or if he doesn't preach against sin, he's a halfway preacher. Or if he spares some because, you know, he's afraid of this, that, or the other, he's a halfway preacher. It's easier to preach an intellectual message because no confirmation is expected. It's just tickling your ears and your imagination. But if you preach a Holy Ghost message, a confirmation is expected. Right? And if God doesn't vindicate his word, you have to ask yourself, is it his word? Exodus 23:20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto your enemies and an adversary unto your adversaries. So, obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. Obey the voice of the Lord. Hearken unto his voice. All these things will be added unto you. Last quote here. In Exodus, the 23rd chapter, very familiar verse that I read usually in the starting of a revival because it deals with something with the way God is dealing today. God speaking to his servant Moses and sending him out. So God doesn't tell you to do something and then leave you hanging. He told Israel exactly how to march around the walls of Jericho, what to do, how long to do it, when to do it. And the wall didn't come down the first day. But on the seventh, they began to shout as they were commanded to. They were being obedient. And the supernatural began to fall. Oh, we don't believe in shouting. Well, ain't going to happen then. They were told to shout. Another woman on the wall, she heard the shout. And she was obedient to the same voice. And the supernatural that caused that wall to fall kept her from falling. So friends, we need to do our part, which is to obey the voice of the angel. Christ it is. And then we need to expect the outpouring of the supernatural that's triggered by full obedience to the word. Full obedience to the word of God entitles you to the token. And if you have that token, you hold it out in prayer and say, Satan, move. This is not a negotiation. This is not a truce. This is not I'm going to try this or that. You hold it out with your prayer and watch God back it up. We have that promise tonight, right? But it comes with full obedience. Part obedience isn't going to cut it. You must be sold out. And I can't overemphasize that tonight as we close. I can't overemphasize that, friends. The worst place for you to be is in the middle. Because you won't enjoy the world because the conviction, you won't be able to, if you do things that aren't right, you don't have a clear conscience about it. So you're not really enjoying it. But you can't really enjoy church because you know that you're not sold out. And when the word comes forth, you feel convicted. And so what do? Well, you know, if we could just shut that preacher up. Maybe I can go through the church and say Brother Baker's picking on me, and I can just convince everybody of that. I won't talk to Brother Baker, but I'm just going to, or Brother Andy or Brother Eli or visiting minister or whatever. They just got it in for me, right? Full obedience to the Word of God entitles you to the supernatural. That channel is open. The promises are triggered. The doors open. The windows of heaven are open. All things are possible. Not if I say, but you say. But this comes with obedience. Now, friends, if we just be honest here tonight, as we're pulling over here, and we'll go to prayer here in just a moment, change the order of the service. How many times over the years have we heard people try to say, okay, we're in the third pole, and we're going to speak the word, and go ahead and speak to this situation, and speak to that, and speak to this. And, you know, forgive me for being a cynic, but you look at the life. You look at what people believe. You look at how they conduct themselves. And down in your heart, something says, this is not going to be the fulfillment of that. Right? Because that is a mature, sold out, surrendered son or daughter of God. God can trust him. So that's why he's going to, if they say it, because they're going to say what he wants them to say. They're going to speak by inspiration. They're going to prophesy. They're going to say what's already been said. But they're going to say it with faith. They're going to say it in this dimension, and God's going to back it up. Right? So it's not a matter of us just, you know, getting all pumped up and, yeah, you know, this is a powerful service, and let's get all pumped up, and I'm going to speak to this and speak to that and speak to this. And yet you're, half the time you're speaking against your brother or sister. Half the time you're not in church or whatever it might be. You know, pick whatever it is. If you're not doing what you know that you're supposed to do, what makes you think you're entitled to this? It's obedience. Friends, don't let the devil trip you up here at the end. Don't let him trip you up to make somebody else your enemy. Nobody is your enemy. You're your greatest enemy. You're trying to overcome self so that his will be done in your life on earth as it is in heaven. So that your full obedience to the word will trigger the outpouring of the supernatural in your life and will entitle you to the token. When you hold it up in prayer, you can say, thus saith the Lord. Right? Oh, no, I don't want to say something in the name of the Lord. Well, if he's given you a promise and you are obedient to his word, you have every right to say it. Because the word is promised. It is thus saith the Lord. The Lord has promised you that. Right? What an opportunity we have tonight. But it takes a focus, doesn't it? And it's daily. I mean, it's not something that we just focus on one time or focus special meetings or, you know, the couple of times a week that we come together. It takes a daily focus. If you're going to be successful with anything in life, it takes a focus. People without a vision will perish. So you have to have a vision before you. You have to know what it is that you're walking into. You have to be honest. That's probably one of the hardest spots for us is to always be, you know, self introspective, self examining, asking the Lord to search our hearts. We don't want to fool ourselves. We're certainly not here to put on for somebody else. It doesn't matter whether people approve us or not. It matters whether he does, right? So we want to be honest with ourselves, and we want to be able to look into the Word and see where we're at and see what kind of a reflection that's, you know, are we reflecting Christ, or is there something that we yet need to overcome in our lives, and we need to cry out and pray and allow the Word to have preeminence in another area of our lives that maybe we weren't even aware of? And that's okay. But we need to be brave enough, right? I mean, it's not fun, right? I don't enjoy the self-examination all the time, right? In fact, sometimes it can be pretty discouraging, because sometimes you thought, you know what, I'm done with that, right? I'm never going to raise my voice, or whatever it might be, you know. I'll never raise my voice. I'm always going to be slow to anger, slow to wrath, quick to speak the truth or whatever, right? And you think you got that thing under control, right? Yeah, you better. And then you're not prayed up and find yourself in a situation, you're tired and what have you, and somebody finds that button and pushes on it, and you're surprised at what happens. And then you're just, man, I thought that was gone. I didn't think I'd ever do that again, right? And if you're not careful, you can get discouraged and dwell on it. You can go too far and beat yourself up and, well, just there's no sense in going on, because everything I say I'm going to do, I don't. And isn't that what Paul said? The things that I say I'm going to do, I don't. And the things that I say I'm not going to do, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this? And then he comes on with, but God, but God, but God. So what am I trying to say? You're going to disappoint yourself. If you're attempting to do this, you're still human, and your human part, your epidermis is still going to show. You are going to disappoint yourself. You may disappoint others, and you're going to have to live with that, right? Apologize, try to make things right. But what is your desire? What do you want to be? What's the vision that's before you? You want to reflect the Son of God here on the earth. You want to reflect the very image of your Father. You want to reflect that very life. You want to reflect this message, right? That's what you want. So you have to be willing to be honest with yourself. Don't try and fool yourself. Don't do like the sisters do. Do I look fat in this? You know? Do you want me to tell you? I think one of the best Geico commercials there was Abraham Lincoln's wife. Her name was Mary, right? Was it Mary? Yeah, right. And she says, "Abraham, do I look fat in this?" Right? Remember, he could never tell a lie. Was that what? Yeah, that was what they said. Abraham Lincoln. Well, Mary, actually, people don't want you to tell them the truth when they say that, right? But we want to be honest, right? I don't want you to. Flattery is a snare, right? Scripture says that. You can say good things about people that are true, right? And you can even say things about them that are in their future, that they're going to walk in, right? In fact, you do that with children all the time. And people did that with me when I was coming back to the Lord and coming into the message. And people said some really nice things. And in my heart, I knew I wasn't that, right? But yet in my heart, I wanted to be that. And guess what? That's me in the future. I mean, that's the real me that's what's going to show. But at that moment in time, all I could see was, you know, everything that happened up to that moment in time, right? You think, man, can't everybody see my past? Anybody ever feel that way? Well, I could never be like these people. Did you feel that way? You must have been the rich young ruler then, if you didn't feel that way. I sure did. I thought, man, these are angels. I found heaven on earth. I'm around a bunch of angels. Man, these people probably never had a thought like I've had. Right? They probably never told some off-colored thing, you know. They're probably never hurtful to anybody and always honest. And I still think that I've found angels, but there's different kinds of angels. No. I want to see in other people. I want to see Christ in other people. Right? And that's what I'm going to choose to see. And that's what I want to choose to bring out. That's what I want to choose to... You say that to a child. You can do this. You know? You're a winner. You're smart. You know? You can do this. You're persistent. And I've seen you. And, you know, just keep trying. You're going to break through. And you talk like that, and that child is going to succeed. Right? On the other hand, if all you do is point out all their faults, you're going to help them to fail. So what's our vision? What is it that's before us? And we need to constantly check ourselves with the mirror of the Word. See what it is that we're reflecting. See what it is that other people are seeing, right? Search me, O God. Know my heart today. Try me, O Savior. Know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. May I reflect you on this earth. That's our desire. And it's possible, friends. It's absolutely possible. He's made a way for this to happen. Right? You may need to ask him what that way is. But he has made a way for each and every one of us. But that must be your desire. That must be your goal. And as I'm trying to pull over here right now, I'm just feeling the pull here tonight. I'm constantly trying to... Some of you, I need to take that stick out of your hand. Some of you just beat yourself up mercifully. Mercilessly. Mercilessly. Right? You just can't see yourself as ever being that person. But I want to take that stick out of your hand. Because the Word's not telling you that. Your flesh is telling you that. The devil's telling you that. Your past is telling you that. Your low self-esteem is telling you that. Your experiences are telling you that. Well, that's how it's always been. Once they get to know me, they're not going to like me. Right? I want to take that stick out of your hand. Right? Because you're beating yourself down. Nobody else has to. The devil doesn't have to do one thing to you. You're the one that's doing it. Others, I want to put a stick in your hand. Well, just believe. Well, what about when you have a problem? Right? I mean, don't be arrogant. Don't make yourself as superman or superwoman or supergirl, superboy. Right? We're all the same. There's no good flesh, bad flesh. There's flesh. Right? And we're not to know one another after the flesh. But inside of each and every one is a gene, a seed from God that was put here to manifest the Word. Right? And that's what we want to see. That's what we want to see on display. That's what we want to... That's bringing Christ on the scene. Allowing him to minister through you and bless the rest of us. And if we all do that, and if that's what we're all looking for, what's going to hold us back? What's going to keep us from our goal? As we read here the other night, Paul said, can tribulation or distress or famine, pestilence, whatever, what can separate me from the love of God? Height or depth or breadth, poverty, famine, what can separate you? Nothing. We just got to believe the story that he's telling about you tonight. It's your story. It's his story about you. He believes it, but now you got to believe it. Amen. Right? It's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing. Oh, I agree it's fantastic. I agree that it sounds unobtainium. Right? But it's not me that does it, but it's Christ who worketh within me. Right? But I got to believe it and keep that vision before me. I got to cry out for it. I got to pray, Lord, work on this. Help me on that. Right? The things that we know. There's a whole lot that we don't know, but, you know, let thy will be done. Let's stand tonight. That's our desire, isn't it? That's why we're here. We're not here to be religious. We're not here to try to be somebody in our own eyes or somebody else's eyes. We're here to be what he wants us to be. And we want... we want his word to be performed in our life. We want to keep his word. I believe that about every one of you, each and every one of you. We're all here for that same reason. And those of you that aren't here too, I believe that about you too. You'd be here if you could. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we stand here this evening, we're overwhelmed at times, especially as we begin this race. It's so overwhelming because what you're declaring just seems so far from reality. It just seems so impossible, and truly it is impossible for man. It's impossible for a church. It's impossible for an organization. It's impossible for human might or human power. But it's nothing to you. By your Spirit, all things are possible to them that believe. So, Lord, whether we can understand how it could be, whether we could ever see ourselves manifesting that or not, that's what your word declares. And that's the vision that you put before us. And we realize, Lord, that the approach is just really the opposite of what we've tried in days gone by. We've tried to do things. We've tried to do this. We've tried to be this. We've tried to be sweet. Nothing wrong with that. But we've tried to be peaceful. Nothing wrong with that. But this character that's being described is not something that we're going to try to do. It's something that you're going to do in us and through us. And it's something that we surrender to. And it's a character and a nature that you place down inside of us. And then the trials and the testings are what brings these things out. It causes us to call upon you. It causes us to search the word, to be honest, to take an honest look at ourselves and in the reflection of your word. And if we see something that's not pleasing to you, well, then we just put it at your feet and say, Lord, I don't want to be that way. I want to be the way you want to be, what you want me to be, what you've called me to be. I surrender. Change me, Lord. Mold me, shape me from glory to glory to glory until that final change comes. Father, I believe that we're all on the same page. I believe that this body is going to manifest what you've declared for the end time. I believe it with all my heart. This is your work, and you can't fail. And I believe, Lord, that you've privileged us to be associated with those of like precious faith, those that are sold out, those that they don't have a plan B or a plan C, those that are not looking for a way out, but they're looking into your word and they're saying, Lord, be it unto me, let thy will be done, be it unto me according to thy word. That's their desire. And Lord, your strength is made perfect in their weakness as they surrender. So speaking from experience myself, the harder I've tried, perhaps. And there are certain things that we need to do. We know that. It's just out of obedience. But we know that whatever the character is and whatever the change is, that'll have to be you that does that. Because it won't be by our might or our power. But we must be calling out for it. We must be in agreement. It must be our desire to be that because you're not going to force it on anybody. That is our desire here tonight, Lord. We've chosen the harder way, but it is the right way. And it will result in a huge portion that awaits us in the life to come, but not just the life to come, but this life as well. And Lord, I can say tonight, I don't regret at all, neither have I ever regretted giving myself to you, surrendering to you. My life has never been the lowest day that I've ever had since I've completely surrendered to you. It was actually still better than the best day that I had when I was trying to do things on my own. Because without you, I'm convinced I'm a failure. Without you, I can't do it. But with you, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And what my desire is, Lord, is for your will to be done. And so two of us are agreeing, one on earth and one in heaven. We're in agreement. As a husband and a wife, we're in agreement so that their prayers are not hindered. Christ and his bride are in agreement. Be it unto me according to thy word. Lord, as we approach the table here tonight, we don't want it to ever become a routine. We don't want to ever take it lightly. But we ask, Lord, that you would search our hearts. We want to, if our hearts condemn us not, then whatever we ask, we know that we can have. We want to be able to come boldly before your table, before your throne. And it's so simple, Lord. You've made this so simple. It's not complicated. All we have to do is surrender and say, Lord, search my heart. See if there be anything. And Lord, if there's something I need to make right, just bring it to my conscience. Bring it to my attention. I'll make it right, Lord. I'll do it. If there's something I need you to forgive me of, make it known to me, Lord. I'll lay it before you. If I've wronged a brother or sister, let me know that, Lord. If I've said something, whether intentionally or unintentionally, and it's harmed somebody, and somebody is hurting, somebody is, it's affecting them, Lord, give me the grace to go to that person and ask for their forgiveness, and Lord, that I can live for them and live for you. Allow your love to it'll cover a multitude of sins. It'll do what no other power can do. But Lord, may we travel light. May we not carry baggage. But may we come to your table here tonight, Lord, with a clear conscience. Because we know that if we have a clear conscience, if we can say all is well, there's healing in the cup. And just, this is one of the two or three things that you've laid out that are absolutely essential in the New Testament. These are commandments. And if we're Christians, we'll do this. We'll be baptized in your name. We'll take communion. We'll do foot washing. We will keep your word. That's our desire. And so, Lord, we want to come and be able to say all is well. And we know that it's so simple. So, Lord, give us grace to do that tonight. And, Lord, when we partake, then we know that it won't hinder the body. In fact, there's healing. There's deliverance. Whatever it is, we're entitled to it. Full obedience to your word entitles us to take that token and hold it out with our prayer. And we can have confidence, Lord, that the thing that we ask for, it'll be done. Grant it tonight, Lord. Pray that you'd move over every heart. Those that are listening in, Lord, I know that if they could be here, they'd partake here tonight as well. And we're not suggesting, Lord, that we could somehow spiritually take communion. We're not suggesting that tonight. We believe that we should physically do it because you told us as often as you do this, to do this often in remembrance of you. And so, Lord, we're doing that in obedience here tonight. And we know that the remainder of the body, that we'll be back together and we'll have another opportunity before this year is out. And look forward to that. But Lord, I believe that whether or not we're here tonight to partake of communion, if we're in our homes, we can still make things right. We can still be in expectation that, Lord, there'll be supernatural blessings. They'll be poured out, your presence. Our needs will be met if we just make sure that all is well with you and with each and every one. So we just ask for you to search our hearts tonight, Lord. And then may we have the grace to and the courage to make right what you put on our heart to make right. And then to rest. If there's nothing that you bring, well, we don't want to worry or be fearful or imagine. If there's nothing that comes, well, then all is well. And we'll accept that too. And we'll come confidently tonight. Pray that your blessings be upon each and every one. Lord, I pray as we partake of the bread that's just simple grain that's been ground up and mixed with water. No leaven, no flavorings added, but just, Lord, just a type of the word that's broken for us. It's prepared, baked, and we partake it in. It's a type of us taking your unvarnished, unleavened word into us, partaking of your word, feeding upon the body word of the Son of Man. We ask that you bless it tonight, Lord. Bless it to our bodies. Bless the hands that prepared it, Lord. And the wine also tonight, Lord, we take it. We know that it's not your literal blood and it's not the literal life that was in the blood, but it symbolizes that. The blood that was shed and the blood cell broke, and then the very life that was in that blood cell comes into the heart of the believer. So, Lord, as we partake of that wine tonight, not grape juice, but wine, we just ask, Lord, that you'd bless that to the goodness of our bodies. And Lord, we ask that your Spirit would just fill each and every heart, that you'd permeate each and every soul as we take it as this symbol, as taking your Spirit, your life within us. Grant it tonight, Lord. And then, Father, if there's any needs in the body, I pray that every need would be met. I pray that the faith would rise in the building to believe for whatever need that we have confidence to believe that it's going to take place. We have every right to be in expectation because we're being obedient to your word. We aren't doing it out of works. We're doing it out of love. But we know that there are laws. And your law says that if we keep your word, you'll perform it. If we love you, we'll keep your word. And we do love you tonight, Lord. Amen. We surrender to you. And we know that this is what you desire, is for us to keep your word. And that's our desire as well. So, Lord, bless each and every one. And we surely give you all praise and honor and glory. And then, Lord, you know our hearts. You know that, believe that you put it on our hearts to forego foot washing at this time. But Lord, I believe that there's going to be an opportunity here real soon for us to do that, and as we have in the past, we believe that we'll do it again. Obedience to your word, we thank you for that, Lord. In the meanwhile, Lord, we want to look upon the needs of others. We want to pray for others. We ask you to bless others, to help our brothers, to help our sisters. We're confident that you're going to do what you said you would do in our lives. Now, Lord, we're asking for our brothers and our sisters that you'd meet their needs. that you'd visit them in that supernatural way. Grant it tonight, Lord. Father, we love you and we thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I need you. In my life, I submit to you, my King. Won't you be my everything? I'm coming to you again, Lord. Here I am. I give it all to you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I surrender. Lord, I surrender. Make anybody uncomfortable here tonight, so we'll try to not to crowd one another, but please come this way and then walk. If you got to take the long way around, that's okay. You can use the exercise, but when we try to go back the same way we came, it just brings confusion. Okay, so think about your brother or sister. Come up here. Then just make your way around. The deacons will point you. I'm coming to you again, Lord, here I am, Lord, I surrender. I surrender. Lord, I surrender my life. I give it all. Yes, I surrender. Surrender my life. I give it all to you. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to I love you, Lord, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear, and let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Oh, yes, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound. Yes, Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace. Who has broken down every wall? He is our peace. He is our peace. So cast all your cares on Him, for He careth for you. Our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on Him, for He careth for you. He is our peace. He is is our peace. He is my peace. Who has broken down every wall? He is my peace. Yes, Lord. He is my peace. He is my peace. Who has broken down every wall? He is my peace. He is my peace. So I cast all my cares on Him, for He cares for me. He is my peace. He is my peace. I cast all my cares on Him, for He careth for me. He is my peace. Is that? Can you try C? Oh, do I remember what I was going to sing? C. How about D? I just remembered the song and I forgot it again. Right here. For Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all God. For Thou, O Lord, and I exalt Thee.
Above all the earth. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And I exalt thee. Yes, I exalt thee, O Lord. I exalt thee, O Lord. Yes, Lord. I exalt thee. Yes, Lord, I exalt thee, O Lord. I exalt thee, O Lord. I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to you. I sing a song to you. I sing a song to you. Blessed be your name, Lord. Oh, Lord. I love you, Lord Jesus. I love you, Lord. I lift up my hands to you. Lord, I sing a song to you. For I exalt. Blessed be your wonderful name, Lord. Hallelujah.